to be back in sunny Florida, amen, with an exception of the reason of my calls, and thank you for your prayers for I and for my family as well. Very difficult time when your father passes away, amen, but it's in the Lord's hands, and we are honored to be back here. We're very honored to be your missionaries in Chile, amen. We have strong roots here in this church, spent many years here, graduated the Bible College. I met my wife here, amen. That's a good place to meet a spouse, amen. Bible College. And I've got a message, but I don't think I'm going to have time to give you really a thorough update as far as what we've been doing and preach on top of it. We'll be here for a long time, especially because I'm fairly long-winded myself. And you're going to have to forgive me because I have not spoke in English in a year and a half. I've been preaching in Spanish. And so if I switch to another language, I'm not speaking in tongues. Amen. Please don't stand up and start translating. Amen. Amen. But we're honored to be here. Let me go back a little bit. I met my wife in Bible College, and we finished up, and I spent another year working on my master's degree. And the Lord opened up an opportunity for us to go to Spring Hill, Tennessee, which is up in the Nashville area, start a church. It was a city of more than 20,000 people with no independent Baptist church, and we moved up there, got jobs, didn't have any type of support, and just started knocking on doors. And we said, well, let's go, we're going to start on this day. We rented a building, and that church is doing well. We spent the first 3 years there with the work, and then I turned it over to a good man. And they have, now the church is going on 7 years old now, and they have since bought land, built a new building, and they support a bunch of missionaries. And the church is just doing really, really, really well, and in spite of me, amen? It's doing really, really good. And they made a little plaque, and they put it in the foyer of the new facility. It's got my name on it, amen? They tried to honor me in that way, and I appreciate that so very much. And it was actually, when we started that church, we started Faith Promise Missions, I mean, from day one. I mean, just with the money that my family was getting to Faith Promise Missions, and we started a missions program, and it grew from there. And they support a bunch of missionaries today. And it was actually in the third missionary conference of that church that, and I was the pastor, that God dealt with my heart about surrendering the work, going and starting another church on the mission field. And my wife is from Chile. We met here in school, and I didn't want to go to Chile because my wife was from there. You know, I heard all those jokes about in-laws. And so I really wanted God to deal with my heart. And I really thought that he was going to leave us in Tennessee just forever. It was a great area. I loved it up there, and we were seeing some great fruit. But when God spoke my heart about going to South America, I'd heard his voice before, and I knew it was very, very clear. And that was in October, and I told the church in December, the first week of February, the new pastor came. And so we started deputation immediately. We were poor, we didn't have anything, so we started immediately. And we spent 2 years running around the country trying to get a little bit of support together. And I preached in over 200 churches in that period of time. And God was so good to us, he provided for us, he met our needs. We wore out 3 vehicles in 2 years. We sure did. And but we didn't have any accidents and only got 1 speeding ticket, amen? So praise God for that. And we raised about 80% of our support in 2 years. And I really would like to have stuck around and got the other 20%, but deputation was hard and long. And I said, baby, don't you think we can make it on 80%? And she said, I think we can. And so we took off down there with about 80% of our support. And I tell you, God has blessed so much. I spent the first year in language school down there, of course, and I'm still working on the language. Preacher said today he's still working on English, amen? And I tell you, God has done such great things down there. We are in Santiago, Chile, and of course, Chile is the bottom of South America. It's a very long, diverse country. It's almost 3,000 miles in length. It has the Atacama Desert in the north, which is one of the driest deserts on the planet. And then if you go all the way to the south, of course, you're getting down into the Antarctic region down there. And then they have everything in between. Santiago is right in the middle of the country. It's a very large city. It's about 6.5 million people. And they've just recently done a new census, so I'm really excited to find out exactly what the numbers are now. But 6.5 million people, we're talking about a very large city, dense population, people everywhere. Traffic, incredible. Pollution, smog, crime. Roman Catholic country, What a great need. Just really a handful of Baptist churches down there. Not very many Baptist missionaries down there. Does anybody here know a missionary in the country of Chile? Raise your hand, besides me. Anybody here know, you know a missionary? What's his name?
Tom Robertson.
Tom Robertson. I don't know him. Okay. Well, there's not very many missionaries down there. Now, if I was to pick Mexico or the Philippines or Peru, you'd probably list a whole bunch of them. The further you get away from the United States, the fewer there normally is. There is a great need in the country of Chile. And I tell you, we've seen some incredible results down there. We started the church there, Iglesia Bautista Antioquia. Back last November, we constituted the church. So the church has only been going not even a year yet. And we've seen some great results and some great fruits. We're seeing a whole bunch of people saved. As a matter of fact, right now we have more people than we have building. We started, of course, my wife having roots from down there, but she hadn't been there in 10 years. We started by trying to infiltrate everybody that she knew. Family, aunts, uncles, cousins, relatives, friends, neighbors, and we just tried to get as many people together as we could to try to get going. And we got a good little group going, and we got the church going well, and the Lord's blessing that. We started in an area of the city. It's called Peñololén. It is on the eastern side of the city, which Santiago now sits right at the foot of the Andes Mountains, which is the largest mountain range in the world. And so it's just incredible sight. If you've ever been in the world, anywhere in the world where you've seen mountains like that, that I mean, literally go right up to the heavens, and they're snow-capped. This is the largest mountain range in the world. So when I come out my yard and I look up, the mountains are just straight up. And only a few passages that go through those mountains, they're so high. And it separates Chile, or those mountains separate Chile from Argentina. And so we started on that side of the city over there, close by the mountains, in an area called Peñololén. And we rented a facility. Now, you would think that when you go out of the country, everything's cheap, but it's not. We're in a very industrialized metropolis city, and things aren't cheap. So we rented a building, and we were paying about $1,200 a month, if you convert that over, for the building. And we were doing really well in that area. We had two real problems. One is that most of the people that were coming to the church didn't live in that area. They lived about 45-minute drive from there, depending on traffic. And so that was a little bit of a problem for us. And secondly is that the tithes and the offerings that were coming in just were nowhere near sufficient to meet that need. And we were under-supported as missionaries already and already having a difficult time. And 50% of everything that we got in our personal support, we were putting into the ministry. And so we've done that for nearly a year. And finally, I met with the men in the church, and I said, we've got to do something. We just can't continue like this. We can't save. Matter of fact, we're running a deficit every month. And they said, Preacher, why don't we try to rent a cheaper place and maybe even get over into the area where most of us live at? And then I started looking, and it's very hard to find something, to be honest with you, that we could use for a church. And they weren't really that much cheaper. We really had a good deal where we were at if you compare the facility that we had. And so I had someone come in. They said, Brother Mullins, they said, why don't you try to look into getting a school, see if a school will let you use a facility down there. And I know here in the United States, that's common. A lot of people start churches and they use schools. And so I went and looked into it. And it was a lot of red tape to it, but I pursued it and kept at it. And sure enough, they let us. They let us get into a school right in the area that we wanted to be in. And so we got the school, and we met there for a few months. And it was a little bit difficult in the fact that we had to transport everything back and forth and set everything up and things like that. And we couldn't put a sign out or anything, so it was very difficult to grow. And we could only use it one day a week, and that was Sunday afternoons. We couldn't have a Sunday morning service, and we'd only use it Sunday afternoon. But we met there for a few months. We'd done that. We transported things, everything back and forth. And we also had a Wednesday night service, and we were having that in the home of a family that we had in the church. And the home wasn't very big, and the house was just packed out every Wednesday night. I mean, we didn't even have any more room to put chairs. And so, but we were doing good, and the church was growing. And normally we would run 35 adults. We just recently had 70 adults, and that's not counting the children. And so the church was really doing good. And then they have another problem down there with the public school systems, is that the children literally, violently take over the schools every year. Last year they'd done this, and it lasted for 3 months. Now, I can't explain it. I don't know why they let them get away with it, but they actually just take the schools over, and they take the chairs, and they stick them in the gates, and they don't let anybody in, and the police and the administrators, they let this happen. If it was me, I would clean that mess up really fast because I'd fail them all. And then if next year they'd done it again, I'd fail them again. And it wouldn't take just a couple years, and you'd stop that foolishness, but they let that happen. And so Victor is kind of the gardener guy there that kind of runs the grounds and locks everything up, and he lets us in and out. And he told us, he said, Preacher, they're probably going to do it here pretty soon. They're going to take the school, and you guys ain't going to have a place to meet. And I said, well, we'll pray that they don't, and if they do, we'll just have to maybe start meeting in someone's home or something. And I tell you, the very next week, he called me, and he said, that's what happened. And so the week before we came back to the States, we met in the home of one of our members, and they met there right now. And so we don't have a facility right now. If the school opens back up, we can go back there. That might be a couple of months. I'm not sure. But the Lord's in control. We've been saving money trying to buy some land. At this point, I'm willing to buy anything, a house. We've been saving money trying to buy some land. And our little church on the mission field has saved $6,000. And you might not think that's a lot of money, but believe me, for a little mission church on the mission field, that is a whole lot of money. And that's because everything that comes in the offering plate, we don't use, we don't spend. We spend our own money to sustain anything that has to take place in the church. And all of the money that comes in, we're very accountable with it, and we save it all. And so we've saved about $6,000, and I met with the whole church. And I told them, I said, this is the situation we're in. We're here, we're in Brother Claudio's house, and his living room, we met there because he had the biggest living room. And it could hold about 40 people. But the first Sunday that we were there, now today's their second Sunday, it was packed out. We just didn't have any more room, and I mean, I was a little bit uncomfortable, to tell you the truth, because they were so close to me in the pulpit, you know? And so it was really packed out. And we had several families out. And so I suspect that they're pretty full today as well. And I told the folks, I said, well, we need to do something here. I said, we've got some money saved, $6,000. In Spanish, it would be tres millones. And I said, we can go rent something. It's difficult to find something to rent because if you rent commercial, you're gonna spend a lot more money. If you rent a house, you can rent cheaper, but many times they don't want you to use the house for a church. And then there comes problems with parking and vehicles in the streets. And so there's a lot that you have to think about when you go to try to rent a facility to use for a church, even on the mission field. And those days of meeting under oak tree, that's in the past, friend. You've got to have a facility. You've got to have rooms. You've got to have electricity. And so I told the folks, I said, we can go rent something. We can go look for something right now. The church has the money to rent something. If we rent something, though, I want you to understand that our saving is over. I mean, we're going to have to literally spend everything that comes in for this rent. And the men, they said, Preacher, Brother Claudio is going to let us use his home for as long as we need. Why don't we just stay here? I know it's uncomfortable for him, but why don't we just stay here? And then if the school opens back up, maybe in a couple of months, we can go back to the school. That's free, and we can continue to use it. And they just got a heart. They said we can continue to save money and just see what God does with it. And so we made that decision to do that. And it's the second week in Brother Claudio's house. And so, but I'm going to tell you, though, we've got a good group of people, but I know in my heart and in my mind that in order for this church to move forward, we can't stay in that position long. You understand? We're going to stay stagnant. We've got some good people in the church. I mean, people that love God. We've led a lot of people to the Lord. We have every class of people. We have university professor, street vendor, and everything in between in the church. And Brother Claudio, whom we're using his house, he is a professor of mathematics in the university there in Santiago. And so we've got some good professional people, and then we've got working class people as well. But believe me, they are all on the same level in our house, in our church. And I know all of them very personally. I've ate dinner in all of their homes, amen? And we're very personal with our folks. We've got some good people. I've got another man, Brother Andreas, and he and his family are members of our church. He is actually the assistant pastor in the church. He's helped me with the work. And he's a good man. And I believe that I'll be able to use him very shortly to even start another church. For right now, I need him with us to really get this church more established and more settled. But I'll be able to use him in the future to start another church. And the Lord has got just tons of plans and directions and things on my heart that I want to do down there. Our biggest obstacle right now is a facility. We've got to have land. We've got to build a building. And we don't need a humongous piece of land. We can take something simple for now and begin there and begin to grow. I believe that if we had a facility, we'd shoot up past 200 people just like that. We'd like to start a Bible college. We have all types of ministries we're already doing. We're already a soul winning church. I'll say we're going visiting this Saturday and the whole church will come up. I mean, everybody will turn out. Yeah. Can you imagine that happening here? Just the whole church turn out. And they want to see the church grow, and they're excited. And we have a married couple class that we started a number of months back, and that's doing really well. And I have a man that's overseeing that, and he's doing a great job with it. Every married couple in the church attends every month. It's the last Saturday of every month. That's working really well, and we're really able to help a lot of people through that. We're really seeing some fruit in that class. What I've done is it was kind of customary in a lot of churches down there to do it this way, and I thought it sounded pretty good, so we just kept doing it like that. What I've done is I've appointed a president of that group. Now, it's still under the leadership of the church and the pastoral authority and everything, but I've appointed a president, and he kind of oversees, kind of in charge of the group as far as, you know, the food, the games, the message, and different things. And it kind of takes a little pressure off of me. And then I appoint him. That way I control everything. And then we let the group, as it were, vote on secretary and treasurer. And then what we do inside that little group is that we collect an offering. And it stays in that group. It doesn't go into the regular church fund. It stays in that little group. And what they do is every month is they eat and they do things like that. And then that fund, that money, it helps to pay for that. And they're very accountable with that and everything. I tell you, it's working really, really well. And my wife, Marta, in October, she is going to start another ministry there in the church, a woman's ministry. And that is going to be on a Monday night. At first, it's going to be one Monday a month. But eventually, we want to go to two Mondays a month, and then maybe even every Monday throughout the month. And Marta's such a big help to me in the ministry. It is just unbelievable. Of course, you know that she speaks Spanish fluently and English fluently, and she's just an asset. Everybody loves her. She's got a sweet, humble spirit. And one thing I found in the ministry, if you want to keep the families, you get the women. Amen? You got a good wife, and she's friendly with the ladies, and the other ladies love her. You got the whole family. Yeah, that's really how it works. And she's just a big help to me, and the church is doing well. Let me tell you some. Let me give you a couple testimonies about some of the folks. We've met a lot of people. We just baptized a whole group of people here recently, and I got another whole group of people that need to be baptized right now. But it's winter time in Chile right now, and so it's a little bit too cold. We don't have the comforts of a heated baptismal tank, amen. We just take them out in a homemade swimming pool and duck them down in that, amen, or a river or the ocean. And so it's a little bit cold for that down there right now. But as soon as it warms up, we've got some more baptisms that need to take place. Let me give you a couple testimonies here. I've got a family in our church that has joined our church through membership, and they come out of a Pentecostal background. Now, they're good people. They're sweet people. They love the Lord and had a good, strong testimony of salvation. And they wanted to come. They come and listened to the preaching, and we went to their home, and we visited with them. We loved them, and they wanted to join the church. And I wanted them to join the church as well, of course. And of course, immediately I start finding information about, you know, marital status and baptism, church membership, things like that. I've got to get some information. And, of course, they have been baptized Pentecostal. And I'm a Baptist. And bless God, I believe you need to be baptized a Baptist. But I have to go about it very carefully as to not offend, you know, because they just don't understand this issue. And there's a whole lot of churches down there that's got the name Baptist on the front, and they don't require you to be baptized or baptized Baptist. That'd just take anything. I'm telling you the truth right now. And so we began to deal with them, to talk with them, to counsel them about that. And it was a very, very difficult issue. These grown people, 50 years old, and got baptized when they were teenagers. And slowly but surely, over the next 6 weeks, God began to work in their hearts. And we saw that family baptized, the husband and the wife. They just as faithful as our church. I couldn't beat them out of there with a stick. I'm telling you, they just have not missed, God's honest truth, have not missed a service. They just there constantly. And as a matter of fact, we're using their home on Wednesday night for our Wednesday night service. And we need a bigger home right now, I'm telling you, because it's full. And then let me give you another testimony. I've got another man. I led this man to the Lord, baptized his wife. They have two children. And he is or was a rock and roll singer. And I mean, when I say rock and roll singer, I mean the hair down the hair, the scary look, you know how it is. And I mean the electric, he was the lead singer. I mean, traveled to Europe, played on the radio, all that stuff. And he showed me a little video clip of him on the internet, and I couldn't believe it, man. It looked like Metallica or something. But listen to me. This guy got saved. His wife was Pentecostal, and she was very sensitive, and they were having a lot of marital problems because, obviously, he was living completely worldly. And she convinced him to, she started coming to our church, and she convinced him to come to the church as well, and he did, and he came a couple times, and he got saved. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something incredible. He had hair down to here. I never one time said anything about his hair. I never said anything about it. He got saved, and the next thing you know, I see him, he showed up at the church and had his hair all cut off. And I promise you, I didn't say anything to him about that, you know? I don't know if it's just conviction or if he just knew it wasn't right, but he cut his hair off, amen? And he baptized his wife, they members in our church, and they're doing so good. I mean, good. Learning the Bible, we disciple them. All the families in our church, we disciple them. I mean, at the dinner table on a Friday night, we disciple them right at their homes. And God is just blessed in so many ways. Let me give you another testimony. I got let me see who I want to tell you about. Well, I lost it. Y'all ever do that? You see this gray? I'm getting old, amen? God has, man, he's been working so much. We got so much more that we want to do in that country. So many people need to be saved. I tell you, you think that there's, I mean, you have a nice mission goal here. Praise the Lord for that. You think that there's a lot of missionaries out there on the mission field, and they're really getting the job done, and there's really just very few good missionaries out there that's getting the job done. We need a whole lot more missionaries. We need more people out there. We need to reach the lost. Amen. At any cost. Amen. And we don't have a whole lot of time left. And hearts are so very sensitive. We've got to be very busy about the work of the ministry. Amen. And I want to read a verse to you here. And why don't you turn with me in your Bibles real fast? Let me show you something here. This is a verse that's really helped me in my ministry, and it's Mark chapter 8. In verse 34 and 35. Let me show you this verse here. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and 35. This is what the Bible says. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, this is very important. He said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him, and then he lists three things here, deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's the same shall save it. I want to bring your attention to the very first thing that he said. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. I have really, my wife and I have really tried to make that the heart of our ministry. You're never going to get anything accomplished unless you really, truly deny yourself. Amen? When we disciple people all throughout the week, when we could be doing other things, we're denying ourselves. When we sacrificially go to the mission field and don't have any type of medical insurance and just barely make it from week to week and budget all our money very carefully so we can pay for everything, we are denying ourselves. I've got a family in our church. Good family. I led them to the Lord, baptized them. They were having some marital problems here recently, the other month. I mean, some bad marital problems. It was a Wednesday night. The wife comes to church. We had our Wednesday night service. She's weeping and crying. I don't know what's going on. Haven't had time to really talk to her. I got all kind of people around me. My wife consults with her. After the service, my wife comes to me and she tells me what the problem is. That the spouse believes that the husband is has been unfaithful. And so in my heart, you know, it sinks in my stomach, and we gotta try to help him. And so I said, what's the situation? She says, well, he's at home, and she's told him to leave. And Martha says, we need to go right now. And we did. We stayed at home till 3 o'clock in the morning. That's denying yourself, amen, to help someone else. As a result of that, that family, I gave counsel on that. I said, this is what you need to do. And as a young preacher, I didn't really know what to do. You know, I had never really, you know, had that really happen in that kind of a detail. And I said, well, this is what you, I'm a big fan of reconciliation, bless God, you know. I think you're a reconciler, amen. You ought to get your hearts right with God, you know. And they had two children, you know. And so I told him, I think this is what you need to do. I said to the husband, why don't you go live with your mama for the next 30 days? Y'all need some cooling off time. Just go live with your mom a little bit, and don't attempt to see her, except on Saturdays you can come see the kids, and that's it. But you got to come to church every single service. And he said, preacher, anything you tell me to do. And he was weeping and crying. We were at their house till 3 o'clock in the morning. He was weeping and crying. She was weeping and crying. And I was in the back of my mind. I was saying, man, I hope I'm giving the right advice. And he said, anything you tell me to do, I'll do it. Throughout that next month, actually over the next 6 weeks, and they'd come to church, they sit on opposite sides of the church. I'm serious. Good man and wife. Been married 15 years. They sit on opposite sides of the church. And over the next 6 weeks, they got closer. And next thing you know, I looked up and they're sitting side by side. It's now several months past that point, and their marriage, they have reconciled. It seems like it's stronger than it was before. Amen. They never miss church. They tithe, they givers, amen? And God's just working it out. And that's what happens. I got another lady come to our church. Now, she has not joined the church through membership, but she comes regularly. And strangest thing, and you probably can relate to some of this, is that she's been with her husband, that is not her husband, for 35 years. They got four children, and they all grown, and they've never been married. Huh? They've never been married. I never even knew it. I just assumed they were married, never been married. And she comes to me, and she says, you know, we got four kids, they're all grown, got grandchildren, everything. We've been together for all these years, but we just never been married. And I said, well, I'd like to help you get that fixed. Amen? I got another family right now that has been coming to our church that is out of a Pentecostal church as well, and they need to be baptized correctly, amen? They need to be in our church. Sweet people, good people. The wife, she's a chef in a Jewish community there in Santiago. I'm just telling you, we are affecting so many people. I'll give you another testimony. We had a lady that come to our church several times, older lady. She's about 65 or 68 years old, gypsy. She's gypsy. And she came to our church, and she had a good testimony of salvation. And she loved the church, loved the preaching and everything. And one day, they called me up, and they said that she had an aneurysm that had erupted. And she was in the hospital fighting for her life. She was about to die. And they said, preacher, you got to go. So me and Marta, we throwed her clothes on real fast, and we took off up there to the hospital. And sure enough, she was about to pass away. The doctor said that she wouldn't make it through the night. I said, bless God, man, bless her heart, you know. And I didn't really know what to do, and I had some oil on me. It's in the Bible, isn't it? Amen. I had some oil on me, and I went in there, and we anointed her down with oil and prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. And God, you got to touch her body, you got to help her, and you got to heal her. Amen. And use it as a testimony. A week later, she was at her house. Amen? A week after that, she served me coffee in her house. Amen? God's good. Amen? And I tell you, we are just affecting so many people. And I'm American, and my Spanish is not perfect. And believe me, they know it. But they're very patient with me. And I tell you, they love us to death. Everywhere I go, it's preacher this and preacher that and pastor this and pastor that. Can we get you some coffee? Can we get you some tea? Why don't you stay for dinner? Amen? We eat a lot with other folks. Saves my grocery bill. Amen? We're poor now. God has, he's truly been blessed. And we're so honored to be there and so excited to be on the mission field. And God has allowed us to start two churches. Bless God. I'm excited about that. Amen? And I'm going to tell you right now, I'll make this promise to you. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I will not be pastor in a church in the United States. Amen? I will be on the mission field. I told my wife, I told my family at the funeral, they know where I stand at, and we ain't coming home except to give a report to some of our churches. I've already told them that if I die, that Marta's going to bury me down there. They're not going to bring me back here. And they're fine with that. And I hope the Lord comes before. But to be honest with you, I really want another 30 years. I'll be 42 in October. I think if my health holds, I could preach another 30 years. I see Pastor Carter and I get encouraged. Amen. But we really want to do something. There's so much that can be done down there. Once we have a facility, I believe we should shoot up into 200 or 300 like that. We can start a Bible college. We can start all types of ministries, which leads me to this. Let me tell you, we need land, and we need it yesterday. I've got more people than I got facility. Don't even have a facility. Got a whole bunch of people. Amen? And those people will follow me anywhere. Amen? They will. That's how loyal they are. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, bless God, you get up and say it, and they're going to attempt it. Amen? And we need land. I've got my eye on a piece of property. Land's not real cheap down there. I wish it was. It's about $100,000. And our church has saved $6,000. And we need $94,000 to buy that land. Amen? You hear me? I'm dead serious. We need $94,000 to buy that land. I think with another $35,000 or $40,000, I could build the sanctuary. And then as we grow, I'll build on to other things. We need that. And I'm not joking. We need that. We need that money. We need that land. We need to move forward down there. Amen? And I need you to pray about that. I need you to help me. Amen? And do what you can. Give a dollar. Amen? Bless God, if I had a whole bunch of people give a dollar, we could raise the money in no time. Amen? Our mission agency, they have agreed, they have opened up a special account for us. Mike Mullins, Land for Chile. And all the money that goes there, they're going to separate it out, put it in that account until we raise that account, until we raise the funds to buy the land. I hope that we can buy it before it's gone, because this $100,000, believe it or not, is actually a really good deal. It's about 2 acres of land in the city of Santiago, and you don't normally find land that size for that price. It's really a good deal. But Dr. Lee came to me this morning, and Mr. and Mrs. Gilbert, bless Mr. Gilbert's heart, he's in heaven, but Mrs. Gilbert, we were really close to those folks, amen? For some reason, the old people like me and the young people don't. I don't understand that, amen? But we were really close to those folks. And brother Dr. Lee came to me and he told me, he said, Mrs. Gilbert told me to tell you that she's going to give $30 a month toward the land fund. Oh, bless her heart. That's sacrifice. Because I know that she don't have much. Amen. And I appreciate that. Amen. I appreciate someone want to do something for God. Amen. And it's okay to have some things. But believe me, when we get to heaven, you're going to wish you would have, could have done more. Amen. Hey, you're missionaries. We're out of this church. We graduated from this Bible college. Amen. We need you. Amen. I want you to come to Chile. I need some help down there. I need a family. Amen. I mean, someone want to do something for God. Amen. I need somebody to surrender. Amen. And come to Chile and help us. Amen. Those fields, they are truly white under harvest. People beating our door down to get discipled. I'm telling you, they're beating our door down to get saved. You think I'm exaggerating? I'm not exaggerating. Just go down there, start a church, put a sign out there, and you'll have people come knocking on the door. They want to know what the truth is. And it's a Catholic country, but there's so many people that have been so misled by what the truth really is. And there is a bunch of people that want to know, what does God want from me? What does he expect from my life? And we are honored to be there, amen? And we're honored to be your missionaries. And please pray for us. We've got so much more work to do. We've got so many people down there. Santiago is a big city. And if you think about the Apostle Paul, when he traveled around, he went to core cities. Huh? He went to big cities because, one, he could reach the most amount of people. And two, it kind of infiltrated there and filtered out to the surrounding smaller cities. Amen? Antioch, Corinth, Philippi, Jerusalem, Rome, went to core cities. And Santiago is the biggest city in the country of Chile. It's like the 19th or 23rd biggest city on the planet. It's a big city. We need your prayers. Pray for us daily. Amen. And when I say that we need a family, I'm serious. We need a family. We need somebody to come down there and help us. There's a lot to do. And I tell you, we really believe God's going to do something great down there.
Amen.
We seeing people saved just left and right.
Amen.
Why don't you come help us?
Amen.
Just maybe there's someone here that has been wanting to do something for God. Anybody here want to do something for God? Huh? Would you be willing to deny yourself? Would you be willing to do that? That's what it's going to take. Say, are you going to get rich? No. Are you going to have some days where you got to eat peanut butter and jelly? Yes. We do it 3 times a week. I'm joking with you a little bit. Not much. But you gotta be willing to sacrifice. Sometimes, I know a lot of missionaries. I have met a lot of missionaries. A lot of good missionaries out there. And praise God for it. Amen. But sometimes we'll take off and we'll go somewhere. And we'll go to the mission field. And it's difficult to go to the mission field. Because no coming back, right? It's a lifelong thing. And I appreciate those that go for 2 and 3, 4 and 5 years and come home. And I appreciate the work that they've done. Well, I'll tell you what we really need. We need some 25-year missionaries.
Yeah.
We need some 30-year missionaries. We need some folks that will go and deny their self and give their life on the mission field. Because to be honest with you, it takes a lifelong service to impact a nation of people. You've got missionaries over in Romania right now that have been given their life on the mission field. Amen? And that's our plan. We're going to be there permanently. And I normally preach to you when we come, and I don't really get a chance to really tell you a lot about what's going on. But man, there's just such a need. Man, such a need. If you have desire to come to Santiago and to see the work, amen, and see if maybe God would really burden your heart about coming there and working on the mission field. And you don't have to be young, okay? You can be white-headed. That's fine. Bless God. You still got 6 or 7 years. You come, amen. I've only been there for not even a year and a half, and I'm already preaching in Spanish. So don't think, and I'm an old man already, amen. Well, compared to some of you, amen. Not so much compared to others, but I'm up in age, and it's not easy to learn another language, amen. Especially when you're as old as I am. But you can do it. You can do it in just a couple of years if you're serious about it, amen. If you study a little bit, if you deny yourself, amen. If you want to, you can do it, amen. And you can come, you can give God the last 10 or 15 years of your life on the mission field. Bless God, you can do that, amen. You know, it's a shame that we serve God for so many years, and then when we get old, we sit out on God, ruin our testimony, huh? Yeah. We got to be faithful all the way to the end. I preached last week in our church about the importance of a testimony, huh? Do you realize that it will take one big mistake, just one big mistake, to ruin your testimony in such a way that you will never be used of God again? Do you understand that?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Pray for us.
Amen.
Help us. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you for allowing us to be here. And I just want to say this in closing. I know it's not a formal message, but I just want to say this in closing, that we are honored to be your missionaries. I love your preacher. He's my preacher. Most everything I learned was under his ministry. And we don't want to let you down. And more importantly, we don't want to let the Lord down.